What an amazing morning. TP and I just walked, and played for that matter, the front nine at Augusta National. Our imaginary round saw us card a plus 13 for a 49, and to top that off, we stopped for lunch. I had two pimento cheese sandwiches, a Diet Coke, and a moon pie. TP's super picky, so he brought his own lunch. Bread with meat, with bread and nothing else on it. He topped it off with a Coke and plain chips. Boring! Well, we are filled up and ready for the back nine. And if I know one thing, this imaginary back nine at Augusta will certainly not be boring. So if you're ready, I know I am, and TP too, let's get vertical. A short walk to the 10th tee, where the 495-yard number 10, Camellia, awaits. Number 10 is historically the toughest hole at Augusta National. A long par 4, this hole plays downhill. Players will try to drive the ball to left or center of the fairway, hitting a second shot into a green that slopes right to left. Prior to 1935, this was the first hole at Augusta National. TP hands me the driver. I tee it up on the right side of the tee box. I still can feel that moon pie in my stomach, but surprisingly it helps me to be slow and smooth on my backswing. Solid contact, and the ball flight is straight with some drift to the right. Plenty of room out there, and I'm safely aboard and squarely into this back nine. My second shot is still lengthy after a 285-yard drive. Obviously, I got a decent roll, as number 10 fairway has a pretty severe downslope. I pull the 4 metal and clip it clean. I usually draw the 4 metal, and this time it's exactly what I did. I hit the green, but because of the draw, my ball slides off the green to the left side, just into the light rough. TP pulls the 56 degree, and I chip it long, leaving a testy downhill putt for par. As I stand over the putt, I have in my head to be cautious. So, I am, and leave it short. But I'm able to knock in the short second putt, rattling it home for a bogey 5 on number 10. And we're off to number 11, TP and I on this back nine at Augusta. Number 11, known as white dogwood, a deciduous flowering tree which blossoms in late March. White dogwoods have 3 to 4 inch white flowers, and in the fall, this dogwood produces red berries and brilliant red leaves. Enough about the white dogwood. What about the hole? Especially since the 11th starts the most famous corner in golf. Amen Corner. The name, Amen Corner, was coined by Herbert Warren Wind in a 1958 Sports Illustrated. In the magazine, he wrote, "At the furthest reach of the Augusta National Course, down in Amen Corner, where Ray's Creek intersects the 13th fairway near the tee, then parallels the front edge of the green on the short 12th, and finally swirls alongside the 11th green." Mr. Wind claimed that his naming of Amen Corner had been inspired by a jazz song called "Shouting at Amen Corner." Well, as Mike Rowe says in his podcast, anyway, that's the way I heard it. Back to hole number 11. TP and I stand on the tee box in awe of what we're about to do. The spectator guide for the Masters describes number 11 like this. At this hole begins Amen Corner, and wind is often a factor. The ideal tee shot is shaped left to right, and the hole plays downhill from an elevated tee. A pond guards the green to the left, and a bunker is strategically placed right center. This hole may be best remembered for Larry Mize's incredible chip shot in the 1987 playoff. TP hands me my driver, and I confidently swing at my ball and direct it right to the right rough. My mind is filled with the second shot, which will be a long carry to the green with water looming on the left. The bailout's right, so clearly that's what I do, slicing my three metal 210 yards even more right. So now I'm faced with a 120-yard third shot from the right rough. Normally, I'd be deep into the many patrons who would have gathered near the 12th tee box. But it's 2020, and this is an imaginary round, you know. TP hands me the wedge, instructs me to aim center of the green, and let it roll out to the pin. And he makes it sound so easy. But I'm coachable, so I do just what my caddy instructs, feathering a nice wedge shot to the front of the 11th green. From there, it should be two putts and on to hole 12. But I decide to three putt for a double bogey 6, and after 11 holes at Augusta, I'm 16 over par, plus 3 on the back 9, and headed to number 12. Number 12, known as Golden Bell, is the shortest hole at Augusta. The 155-yard par 3 is one of the most famous holes in golf. Swirling winds, raised creek in the front of the green, three bunkers surrounding the 12th green make this hole a scary one, even for the pros. And we all remember Jordan Spieth's meltdown and the 2016 Masters. I pull the 6-iron, which I usually carry 160 to 165 yards. I'm nervous and want to try and smooth the 6-iron, making sure I make it over Ray's Creek. TP steps in and suggests the 7. He says, "You're excited. There's barely any wind, and you carry your 7-iron 150 to 155 normally. Let's go with a hard 7, he says. I like it. So I take the 7 and I swing it hard. I tug it slightly and watch the ball as it heads toward the left side of the 12th green. It hits soft and a little short into the bank of the green. It's safely over the creek. All right. That deserves a mini Tiger fist pump. After successfully getting the ball over Ray's Creek, TP and I can enjoy the walk over the Ben Hogan Bridge. The visuals of the greats of golf flash through our minds as we make the walk to the 12th green. As we approach, a 56 is what's needed on this chip, and the goal is to get it up and down for par. Well, I pick my spot, start the backswing, and swiftly clip the ball about 5 steps onto the green. At first look, my ball looks like it might go in. As it continues to roll closer and closer until, tink, it hits a pin, drops in the hole. Holy smokes, I made it. That deserves a major Tiger fist pump and a birdie 2 at the 12th. We improved to plus 2 on the back 9, plus 15 on the round. Take that, Jordan Spieth. Well, don't tell him I said that. On to hole number 13 and the last hole of Amen Corner. The walk from the 12th green to the 13th tee is super short, and you are now a long way from the clubhouse, and normally, in a normal year and a real round, You are the furthest away from the patrons, too. I am jacked up after chipping in and can't wait to hit my T-ball. TP has to slow me down somehow, so he grabs my driver and acts like he's cleaning the face of the club. I reach for it. He smiles and says, "Nope, you're not ready." I laugh and agree. TP then reads the spectator guide hole-by-hole description in order for us to be focused to play number 13. Number 13 is a par 5, 510-yard hole called Azalea. An accurate tee shot to the center of the fairway will allow a player to go for the green in 2 if he desires. A tributary to Ray's Creek winds in front of the green, and behind the putting surface are 4 bunkers. The Byron Nelson Bridge is located at this tee. From tee to green, there are approximately 1,600 azaleas. Well, I finally get my driver from TP, and we need a solid drive here. I'm so amped that I hook my drive left. It lands safely, but goes down deep into the Bermuda rough. A slight draw is required off the tee, but I hooked it and now will need to lay up to a good number for my third shot. I use the 4-iron in order to position my ball for shot number 3, leaving about 110 yards. A smooth wedge over Ray's Creek again leaves a 30-footer for back-to-back birdie tries. My first putt is on its way, but with way too much optimism, it leaves me a 10-footer for par. A slightly less than optimistic second putt gives me my second 3-putt of the back 9 and a bogey 6. Quite a disappointing response to the birdie at 12. TP and I walk to the 14th hole dejected after my play on the last hole of Amen Corner. After feeling dejected for capping a birdie on 12 with a bogey on 13, TP gives me a pep talk as we walk to 14. TP says, "Well, this hole shouldn't be hard. There's not a bunker on the hole." I turn to TP and say, "Thanks for the stat fact, buddy. And isn't that encouraging?" In my mind, it actually was. But the par 4th 440-yard hole features one of the harder greens to figure out, as it has a severe terrace to it. With driver in hand, I quickly find trouble on the hole TP said didn't have any trouble. And I slice it into the right rough. As we walk to the ball, TP says, "Told you." And I said, "What?" TP says, "No bunkers." Well, I had to give it to the little guy. He was right. Well, a 3-wood now was handed to me by TP with instructions too. He says, "Give it everything you've got." So I do. And I come up way short. My third shot will require a finesse 56 wedge that will ride the terrace down sharply from left to right. Well, I carry it long and scattered off the green into the rough. I chip it again and now need to drain an 8-footer for bogey. Well, I hit it past and I earn a 2-putt and a double bogey. Bad chipping leaves us at 18 over par, plus 5 for the back 9. The 15th starts a series of 2 holes which are so memorable to Masters history. The par 5 15th, known as Firethorn, is reachable for the pros. And well-hit second shot will give the player a great putt for eagle. On the tee, I'm filling my head with magical thoughts, thinking of pulling off some kind of epic Mickelson moment, before TP says, "You're up." "Oh," I say, I was thinking about Phil." TP turns to me and says, "That's not weird." He hands me the driver, and I scull one about 200 yards. Certainly nothing magical about that. Well, I'm regulated to hitting a layup, which as a former basketball player means I can pull that off in my sleep. So So I loft a smooth 5-iron to about 105 yards out, which prepares me well for my third shot into the 15th green. A simple wedge to the center of the green, and I'm in business and back to magical Phil thoughts. As I stand over my Scotty Cameron, I visualize the ball rolling on its line and disappearing into the hole. Magical. I take the putter back and then through, sending the ball rolling towards the hole, but also way past. In my visualization, I didn't see it doing that. Reality set in and left me with a 10-footer for par. I leave it short again and tap it in, totaling up a 6 on the par 5 15th. We head to the 16th, wondering if we might hit a shot there that would rival Tiger's chip shot in 2005, which was one of Nike's best moments in sports history. Number 16 is a par 3 170-yard hole called Redbud. The hole is played entirely over water, and the green is secured by 3 bunkers. With the green significantly sloping from right to left, an exacting tee shot is required to have a reasonable birdie opportunity. In 2005, Tiger chipped from just off the green, left side. What we forget is that spot where the ball landed was just past the pond, and most times a ball hitting there either goes in the pond or bounds way into the patrons. Well, Tiger hit a chip which rolled toward the hole before stopping on the lip of the cup. After it hung there for what seemed like forever, it slowly rolled into the hole, showing the Nike sign and giving them the best commercial ever, as well as sending echoing cheers throughout the grounds of Augusta National. Definitely a shot for the ages. So at plus 19 for my round, I step to the tee with a 5-iron in hand. I swing at it while thinking, don't hook this into the water. I don't. I slice it, and it lands above the green on the right side. A slippery, fast, and furious chip is ahead of me. I plop a 56-degree lob wedge onto the green and watch it rush towards the hole. Could it? Would it? It didn't stay on the green. I chip it again, and this time the ball sticks for a tap-in bogey 4. We call it a win and continue our imaginary round by heading to the 17th tee. After a perceived win at 16, TP hands me driver on the 17th tee and says, let's finish this round bogey bogey. Not exactly what you think your caddy might say, but we are playing an imaginary round at Augusta, so I guess bogey bogey on 17 and 18 would be finishing strong. Well, I smoked the drive and actually hit it near the spot of the Eisenhower tree, which was removed after the 2014 ice storm. My second shot is crushed, a hybrid. It carries all the way to the green. I'm on in regulation. I'm putting for birdie. So I call in TP for the read. He takes a look and gives me his read. It's a 20-footer swinging left to right. He calls it 3 balls outside the left edge. I step up, give it a go, and it rolls left to right, perfect speed, and it rolls just past. A tapping gives us a par, and we are off to 18, hoping to finish strong. We're plus 20, 7 over on my back 9, and TP and I arrive at number 18. Number 18's a par 4, 465-yard hole called Holly. It's one of the most famous finishing holes in golf. The uphill dog leg right is protected off the tee by 2 bunkers at the left elbow. A drive hit down the left center of the fairway will often require a middle iron for an uphill second shot to a green guarded by 2 bunkers. I grab driver for the last time. I hit it solid and it glides onward into the uphill slope of the 18th fairway. My second shot yardage leaves me with 234 yards below the hole. It's gonna take an incredible three metal to reach this green. I crank my TaylorMade three metal and actually overcook it, which means I pull it, and it lands about 50 yards short left side. The 52 degree wedge is lofted toward the final green with my third shot. It bounces once, checks nicely to about 15 feet right of the pin. A two-putt effort gives us a bogey five for a par bogey finish, a little better than the TP pep talk back on 17T. TP and I tip the cap to the imaginary patrons, we fist bump our scoring team, and we embrace while we turn to look back at the Augusta National in all its glory. What a day, what a round, what a memory, and what an imagination we have. Plus 21 for the round, it's a 93 on the scorecard. TP and I head off to sign over our card and make this imaginary round at the Masters official. Well, we have reached the end of another episode of Vertical View. I want to thank Augusta National and the Masters for allowing us to play this imaginary round. And I also want to thank TP for caddying and coaching me through. I hope you enjoyed this lighthearted round of golf and somehow it took your mind off of the often stressful and anxious moments of our day-to-day lives. I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give my podcast reviews on any of the platforms that you listen to your podcasts. Finally, follow me on Twitter at @VE_executive. For now, I'll see you next time at the Vertical View.